Hello, farmers, and welcome to the harvest season. My name is Al.
My name is Brittany.
And we're here today to talk about farming games. Woo. So, Brittany, thank you for joining me again.
Yep, thank you.
It's always a pleasure to have you on. Always a pleasure to have you on. And I will try my best not to keep playing Iblets the whole time
we
are talking.
You are more than welcome to if you can multitask in that capacity, because I cannot.
And we'll see. I'm trying to get all the key caps just now.
Oh, yeah, that's a little fun. It took me a while to do that.
I just got the bean juice.
Yep, that's what slowed me down.
Yeah. I may have spent far too many wishes on getting speed grow to get that bean juice.
Oh. But
there we are.
I've been really exclusive with my wishing spending and only on upgrades.
Yeah. I really should be doing that as well, but I was just like, I just want to get this bit done.
Understandable. I did buy some cothlets here and there right now.
Yeah. So, from what you may have just figured out from what we were saying, today we're going to talk about ooblets. We're not going to do an in-depth ooblets discussion, because probably not fair to do that as of yet. So I think we did the same thing with Littlewood last year, is we kind of just had a high-level chat about, you know, our first impressions and what it's like playing the game. And then maybe later on, maybe once it's out of early access, we'll see. We'll come back and do a more in-depth episode, probably with Rochelle, because I know she has been really looking forward to this game. But I thought it'd be good, as the game has been out for a few weeks now, that and Brittany, you've been playing it, I know, and you were looking forward to it. We discussed that in our last episode together.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be good to kind of get some first impressions on it, just see, you know, people might be thinking, do I want to buy it or not? And this might give them a kind of first idea of whether they would like to or not.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
And then I wanted to talk about a couple of games that we are looking forward to in the future, because I think Ooblets has been one of those ones that we've kind of been talking about for ages, and like, this is one that we've been looking forward to in the future. So now that we have this and we've been playing it, what are the next things that we're looking forward to coming up?
Mm-hmm.
How does that sound?
Sounds good.
But before that, we're going to go through the news. And before that, Brittany, what have you been playing?
I've been playing a lot of Ooblets, as we've played.
Shock horror.
But even more than that, I've been playing Zombies Run.
Zombies Run?
Because of your co-host.
I mean, like, I can't have a co-host who isn't interested in Zombies Run, you know?
At any time, yep. I guess it's a requirement now.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Anything interesting in your Zombies Run? Or, oh, sorry, was there something else?
No, I can explain. I've been kind of speedrunning it to, because normally I like to, I think, do everything in chronological order and like make sure I'm listening to everything within. There's a story mode in a season, but they also have like radio mode and they have like side missions sometimes. So I try to fully complete, really itching to kind of progress the story a little bit more, because I want to know. So I've been just kind of binging a little bit of it lately.
Fair enough.
And other than Ooblets, what have you been playing, Al?
Yeah, so obviously I've been playing some Ooblets. Other than that, I've started playing all of the Super Mario games. So for those who aren't aware, they recently had a Mario Direct where they had a whole bunch of stuff that's coming out, including some older games are being ported to the Switch. Mm-hmm. Let's not have a discussion as to whether they're ports or remasters. I realized that I probably haven't actually finished many games, and I certainly haven't played all of the Super Mario games.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided I was going to do that. So as of this recording, I have completed the first 8 Mario games since that direct. I was doing one a day, and then I took the weekend off to play Ooblets.
I feel like it's a very good goal because I can think of at least one Super Mario game that I never finished because I just got stuck somewhere. And I don't know if this is like early into the internet and I just didn't know how to Google things back then or what.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
And I would say the new upcoming ports slash remasters, however you want to call them, are probably fall under my future games that are not farming related that I'm
Yeah.
interested in.
Yeah, I've certainly not played Super Mario 64 or Sunshine or Galaxy. So I'm looking
Sunshine.
forward to getting those.
That's what
So
I'm most excited about is Sunshine.
I think the only 3D Mario game I've played is Odyssey. And I enjoyed that a lot. So hopefully I'll enjoy the other ones as well.
That's a Super Mario game. I've never finished Odyssey.
I finished the story in that. That was a good fun. I have definitely not completed it like 100%, but I finished the story. And sometimes that's all I want to do.
Yeah, understandable. You can't 100% every game. It's too much.
Yeah. So we'll see how that goes. Tomorrow I'm going to be playing Super Mario World 2. And after that is when it gets difficult because I think the games become a lot bigger after that. Certainly with the 3D games, they end up being quite big. I might switch around games a little bit and go instead of doing, because the next one after Super Mario World 2 would be 64, which obviously is not out till Friday on the Switch. And then it would be Sunshine again. So I might go on to new Super Mario Bros. And kind of get through all the 2D ones before I go on to the 3D ones. Well, we'll see how I feel. Yeah, that's what I've been playing. So, shall we talk about some news?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. So the first bit of news, very exciting news, and that Doraemon Story of Seasons is now on the PS4.
Ooh.
So if you've been looking forward to playing Doraemon's Story of Seasons, but you don't have a Switch or a PC and you want to play on the PS4, there you go. You can do it now.
I think this is like the one game that I consider like, do I want to play it on the PS4? I don't know. I like the Switch so much, but maybe I could try it out on a different
Oh.
platform.
Have you played this game before?
I have not.
You have not. It's a good game. I presume you listened to our episode on it with Micah.
Yes.
It's a good game, very good looking game, and kind of good standard farming game. There's nothing kind of overly interesting about it, I guess, other than the gadgets. The gadgets are quite interesting, but there's nothing like makes it really stand out, other than just it's really solid and really good looking. It's just a good game. But yeah, there's nothing that you look at and you go, oh my goodness, like this is, you know, what makes it a really interesting game or whatever. But it was very fun.
Just like a good, nice, round farming game.
Yeah, good solid game. The next exciting thing for those who have an interest in definitely not camming farming games is there is a new update to Atomicrops coming out, which will come out at the same time as the game releases on Steam and GOG or GOG. I don't know how people say it. The other place you can buy games. So Atomicrops was exclusive to Epic Games Store. On the 17th of September, it's coming to Steam and GOG. It sounds so stupid saying that. GOG. GOG. I don't know.
I never heard of it before now, so
Oh, you've never heard of it?
no.
It's kind of like the other one, like
Like Epic.
yeah, it's like you can get most games on it, so it's not like itch where you it's kind of like indies and stuff. You do get most big games from it, but it's kind of not as big as Steam. It's not really interesting. I think it's just where people would buy games if they didn't want to use Steam, really. So the update comes out then on all three of the PC platforms. And it'll be coming to consoles at some point in the future. They're still porting it over. There are new guns, new characters, a new tractor, and many more upgrades to the game.
Very
If
good.
you're into Atomicrops, there you go.
Have you played any of it?
I haven't, no. I think I own it on Switch.
Okay.
but I've not played it yet. I think it was like on a really good sale at some point, so I bought it. But I've not taken it yet. It's one of these things where it's like, I really feel like I should play it, but I don't know if I actually want to. You know, it's just it's the complete opposite of what I look for in a farming game.
Yeah,
you know?
It seems very stressful just from looking at it.
Yeah. But we'll see. I will play it at some point. Mm-hmm. But who knows when?
Eventually.
Always a good question. Eventually. Mm-hmm. It's on my ever-growing list of games to play.
Yep.
The next news item is there is a new Village Monsters update out now, 0.8.0. And this is titled as the Village Restoration Project. Essentially, there's a lot of extra things in the game now. The library is completely renovated. There we go. Oh, why are some words just so stupid? It's like, why is it not renovated?
Words are just
renovated.
Hard and unnecessary most of the time.
Yeah. It has player customization finally.
Oh, okay.
Which is exciting. And the big update is that the village changes over time. So as you use stores more, they'll get more stock in. As you use the inn and town square, villagers will kind of more appear, places like that. Villagers will put up flowers and decorations randomly throughout the year and stuff. So it kind of, I think they're trying to get this idea of it's a really evolving place. It's not, you know, one of the kind of normal things of these types of games is that it's kind of, it's not really a static town, but you basically have the four seasons and maybe the festivals and that's it, right? And nothing really changes other than that. Whereas I think the idea here is that they want it to kind of
permanent changes.
Change constantly.
Or maybe not permanent.
Well, I mean, some changes will be permanent and some will be, you know, continuing on. So, so yeah, if you have played that, go get the update. If you haven't played it, maybe this is the time to get into it. The next news item is a game that I have talked about before, I think last episode, and is one that I'm quite excited about, and that's Ova Magica, which is where you are farming blobs, and it's a creature capture farming game, kind of Ooblets-esque, but all of the creatures are blobs.
They're
have
so
you looked
cute.
At this, Brittany?
I have.
They're amazing. And some of them are just so ridiculous, like the cow one, which is just a black and white blob. Yeah. And
they have little horns.
And some with wings.
Goodness.
So the new information on this game, because I'm not just bringing it up again because I like the blobs, is that they've given some more information about some of the features. So for example, the blobs help you farm. So I saw some blobs would help you water the crops and stuff like that. They follow you around, which is quite cool. There look to be some sort of investigation-y, adventure-y type part of it, because there were some portals that looked like they were taking you to other places. There seem to be massive boss blobs that you have to defeat at some point, which... they're very big. They're very big blobs.
I like them.
Yeah, me too. And there are a lot of designs of blobs, and quite... Some of them look really good. Oh, there's a toadstool one.
Ooh. Yeah. Do we know how many blobs there are? Wait, there's a bomb.
I don't know if we know how many there are.
Okay.
The Kickstarter for this game launches in the future. it will probably have more information like that.
Fair enough.
I like the look of it, and this new information is all very exciting. The last piece of information is about a game called Big Farm Story, which is a new game that I've come across. It is currently in early access on Steam. And the reason I'm bringing it up is because apparently they want it to become an MMO, a farming MMO, which I thought was an interesting idea.
Has that been done before?
Probably. Has it been done well? That's a different question. So, yeah, I like the idea of an MMO farming game. Presumably you can visit other players' farms and see what they've done and stuff like that.
And farm together, kind of like a multiplayer, but just in an MMO world. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what happens. It could turn out terrible or it could turn out really well. We'll find out.
I mean, I like the look of it a lot, so hopefully it does.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's all the news. Not a huge amount of news, but a good chunk.
Yeah.
We're at a weird time in the year, I think. There are a lot of games. Well, there's not a lot of games coming out in the future, like the near future, but there's a few games that are still to come out this year. And we're hearing a lot about games in the future, like for next year and 2022. But it still feels quite quiet just now. And I don't know whether that's just because the beginning of the year was so busy with games.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I can see, we have 1, 2, 3 games definitely coming out this year, and Rune Factory 5, which, let's be honest, it's not going to come out this year, even though they've said it has. But that, yeah, it's not coming out this year, is it?
There's still 3 months left. We'll, you know, they have time.
Yes, but they've not said anything about it.
They could just...
And also coronavirus.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, very true. I mean, they could definitely just do no marketing and just be like, we've told you about it, it's here now. That wouldn't be wise, probably, but you never know.
Yeah, yeah. Shall we talk about Ooblets?
Shall.
So, for those who aren't aware, Ooblets is a game that came out a few weeks ago, I guess, in early access on the Epic Game Store. And it is a very fun game about, it's a creature collection farming game. Would that be an appropriate way to describe it?
I think so.
How would you describe this game? Not in like a term like that, but in terms of the gameplay, how would you explain it to people if you wanted to convince them to play?
I feel like it's primarily a farming game. Even though you are in a way capturing creatures, but even then it doesn't quite feel that way because you're doing dance offs with them.
Yeah.
And I love that mechanic of the game. It's probably one of my favorite. But you're not capturing them. They're literally like plopping out little seeds for you to take and then grow.
Yeah, I think plop is probably not quite the right word. I think they are literally pooping them out.
Yeah,
right?
But you know, I mean, that's also one of my favorite sounds, a little fart they do.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But yeah. So you do, to get the seeds, I guess you do a little dance off with one of the wild ones. And then if you defeat them, you can pat them on the head, say they did a good job, and they poop out a seed.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take the seed, you plant it in the ground, and it grows into an ooblet.
And I don't think it takes long either. At least I haven't come across the species yet. I think it's just like a day for an ooblet to grow.
Yeah, it's reasonably soon. I couldn't tell you it was definitely a day, but yeah, it's certainly not many days.
Mm-hmm.
Not many days. Okay, so... That's kind of the standard way of doing things. You also then farm other plants.
Mm-hmm.
You sell them, you make money, you spend that money on other things. And the other kind of currency type thing they have is this game is like almost, I think I said in the show notes, it's almost painfully adorable. It's almost too adorable.
I don't think there's such a thing.
Everything has a silly name.
Oh my
right?
God.
So nothing has its normal name. So like you don't have a watering can, you have a dribbler. You don't have a hole, you have a ground scraper, I think it was.
Something like that.
You don't have, like, you have springs and cogs, but they're not called those things. They're called Nernies and something else.
And your first sprinkler is not a sprinkler. It's literally a water gun.
It is. It's ridiculous. So, like, there's a and it's kind of interesting and cute, but also kind of annoying, I find, because I'm constantly forgetting what things are called.
Yes, I definitely see that, especially when it comes to, I think, completing the tasks. I don't know what anything is called. So I'm just going off what they look like.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I can't remember what the cogs are called. I just know they look like a cog.
But also, do you really need to know what they're called? Like, you just know what they are and you know when you need them, so it's fine.
Well, so when you're walking around and you are, you know, you have these quests that are constantly going on and you have to unlock more things and stuff like that. Your quests, it shows you down your bottom left-hand side and it shows you the names, right? Mm-hmm. So it doesn't show you the icons in that.
Yeah, in that sense, I think the only frustrating part. It's like when you're trying to calculate in your head, okay, I need more of this and more of that, and then not realizing where you need to put them, because you forget where all the boxes are to deposit the items, and also what they're called.
Yeah, I guess part of the issue is that as of this point, so obviously it's important to note this is in early access. Things could change. There are missing features. So many of the things that we're talking about could be just things that they haven't got to yet. Mm-hmm. Disclaimer is done. So one of the issues I've found with that sort of stuff is that there is no mini-map, or there's no map that you carry around with you. There is a map in the game, but it's in a fixed location in the town. Mm-hmm. That you have to go to look at. It's a very good map because it does show you where people are as well, which I always like. I like to know where people are.
Yep.
So you don't just spend your time walking around in a circle having no idea where you are. But it would be nice if you had a map on you rather than having to go back to that location to do it.
Agreed. Although I feel like I haven't really felt that need quite yet, just because it is... I feel like a limited space that you have in the beginning. So I've just been doing laps around the town for the most part.
That's fair. That's fair. I find it, I guess the problem is if you're like, oh, I know I need this item for this thing.
Yeah, and then where?
And then you go get that item and then you have to remember where it was.
Or you just do.
But it would be useful to have the
continuous
map.
Laps around it until you find it, like I do.
Well, that's essentially what I do. It's just not my favorite thing to do, you know.
Yeah, understandable. And as you, even in the early access, there is quite still a lot to unlock. So having that map, I think, on you, because I've found that once you unlock certain things, certain people disappear and you can no longer find them in the overworld.
Yeah. yes. Yep. Yeah, so I, you know, obviously a lot of these gripes will be addressed in the future, and a lot of them are kind of, I find a lot of the time when we cover games, the gripes sound kind of petty, but it's because we like the core concept of the game and the core gameplay that we don't want to pick on that sort of stuff. And so we pick on the silly little things that are annoying us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I could live without all these things because I'm obviously enjoying the game already. If I could have small improvements, these are the things.
Definitely. So one thing that I've noticed, you start the game, you come from this place that doesn't have ooblets, and so you're moving to this place that does have ooblets. And you appear on the island and you're like, I don't have an ooblet. And they're like, oh, here are 3 ooblets you can start with.
Mm-hmm.
Which ooblet did you choose?
I chose, I chose Shrumbo and I think Clicky Claws and maybe lump stump? I think
you only get one to start with.
Okay.
And then you have to unlock the other ones.
Okay, good. I don't recall the beginnings because it was just that was a long time ago. It feels like then it was Shrumbo that I picked.
Let me just double check what it's four, not three, that you can choose. So there's, Shrumbo is one of them. Side Key is one.
Side Key?
Bittle and Tud. So you chose Shrumbo.
Oh.
I chose Side Key.
See, I don't even think I've met Side Key yet.
So you can unlock them, I think, after like four unlockings of extra ooblets, you can get Side Key.
Okay.
Psyche is way overpowered, I find.
I find Shrumbo such a good is pretty overpowered. So, right, okay. So what is Psyche's gimmick?
Psyche's first, what are they called? So each of the ooblets, let's do a quick explanation of the dance battles, right? So it's like a card-based game, and basically you have to gain points, and once you gain the certain number of points to win that certain battle, you win the game. And you have a certain, they're called beats, which is essentially like power that you can use within a turn, and each card costs a certain amount of power. And so you play as many cards as you can in the turn, and then it goes to your opponent, they do the same, and then it keeps going until somebody gets to the number of points that wins the game. And each ooblet has like a few unique cards to them. Mm-hmm. That's what makes them interesting to get different ones other than just the collection. Side Key's first unique card, there's another name for it, but I can't remember what it is, is called Finite Loop. And basically what it allows you to do is play it, it costs one beat, and you can play the next card twice. So, for example, one of the kind of standard cards is you play it and you get 6 points. So if you play Finite Loop and then this other card, you will immediately gain 12 points. And considering, you know, some of the battles you only need 20 points to win, that's quite a lot.
Yeah, that is a little overpowered, it seems like.
So it's really good, and you can combine it with lots of other things as well. So there's Lumpstuck is quite interesting in that I've found that all the ooblets have like different strategies, right? So Lumpstuck is a lot about gaining hype. And for those who haven't played the game, when you have more hype, each of your cards increases the points by more. So if you have a card that says gain 5 points, if you have 2 hype, you'll actually gain 7 points. And so you can combine Side Key's Finite Loop with, I think when you get to like level 4 Lumpstuck, you have a card that says gain, I think it's gain 5 points and 3 hype.
Mm-hmm.
So if you combine that with Finite Loop, play Finite Loop, and then you play the Lumpstucks gain 5 points and 3 hype. So you go up to 5 points and then you've got 3 hype, and then you play it again. But of course, because you've got the 3 hype, you gain 8 points and 3 hype. And now you have 6 hype. So then if you have another card that allows you to gain points, that will then gain you 6 more than it said. So if you have one that says gain 5 points, you're now gaining 11 points. So in the total thing, spending only 5 beats, you have gained, 11 plus... 8 plus 5, a lot of points. 26.
And I think it's 25 to win with 2 ooblets, like a 2-on-2 battle. So that's quite a hit.
Yeah. So I'm finding it really interesting having these different strategies.
Mm-hmm.
I've definitely not really struggled in any battles yet.
I've lost a few.
You've lost a few, have you? What actually happens when you lose? I don't think I've lost a single battle.
So have you unlocked the dance barn yet?
No, not yet. I'm so close to it. I just need one more obsidian and then I'll be able to unlock it.
Okay, because that's the only place I've actually lost the battles.
Right, okay. So I've just not come across the hard ones yet.
Well, I mean, I can explain how it works in there if you want, but there are spoilers.
let's not spoil things just now. I know Rochelle loves spoilers. I'm so close to being able to unlock that I think we'll just keep that.
Yeah, that's fine.
You know, we're this is not our in-depth Ooblets episode, mm-hmm. so let's not spoil things for everybody.
Yep, I think my only.
But I'm sure, listeners, if you want to know, I'm sure you can tweet Brittany and she will tell you.
Yes, please. I will talk about Ooblets. I would love to. Yes, I've already said this, but this is definitely my favorite part. This is my favorite mechanic of the game. I love deck building. Or deck builders.
Mm.
I think my only complaint with it is that you can't really see what an Ooblets deck looks like before you pick them.
Yeah, that would be really nice. It would also be quite nice to kind of, if you could, so that there are some cards that are like generic ones that I think you get for all of them.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be nice to, it'd be really nice to see if I have these ones, what does my deck look like? There's not very much visibility on that.
Yeah. Like, I have no idea what any of my decks look like. And I guess talking about Shroombo a little bit, their power or whatever, their, I guess, area of expertise.
Unique ability,
there we go, is mostly just
signature.
Gaining points.
Signature, yes, move.
Signature move is gaining points.
I remembered.
So they just have like really high numbers that they can gain with a single card.
Ooh.
Some of it, and that ranges from, I think, the number of beats it requires to, like, with a one-on-one battle, I could finish the game in two turns with Shroombo, because I was able to get 20 points.
Wow.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be really good to combine with both Lumpstock and Sidekey.
Mm-hmm. See, I forgot what Lumpstock's dangerous power was, because I no longer use it in my normal range, because I forgot.
Oh, you got to get. So what's your standard? What's your standard setup then?
I've been relying heavily on Shroombo. I've started using Clicky Claws, which has some hype cards in there, and also some like 0 point cards that you can gain points from. And Clomper as well, which can stun the target, which I actually didn't realize I can select the target until literally like right before we started recording. Go.
Yeah, it's not the most obvious of things.
And I just like how they look.
I don't think I've unlocked Shroombo yet. So one of the ways that they do not being able to get all of the Ooblets at the same time is that there's only like a certain number that are unlocked that you can actually find in the town. And you have to spend these wishes to unlock more Ooblets, and you unlock 3 at a time. And I can't see a Shroombo in my almanac yet. So I don't think I've unlocked the ability to see them.
Okay.
Sadly.
I also like that each Ooblet kind of has 3 variations of...
Oh, yes. We need to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You explain it to start with. Shroombo's the toadstool one.
Yes, it is. That's why I picked it. Right. Like, it's
yes.
Cute.
The icon.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, so each Shroombo, not each Shroombo, each Ooblet, very, very similar to Pokemon in that there's like different types or variations of the same Pokemon. They basically have their own shinies in this game. So there's the common type, which I think is normally what everything looks like. It's obviously the most common that appears in the overworld. And you have uncommon, which, you know, I think is pretty straightforward. And then you have gleamy. The gleamy ones are the shiny ones, and they actually do sparkle, and it's very apparent when you see them in the overworld too. Like, if you have been traveling with the same Ooblets for a while, you will clearly tell the difference that, oh, this is a different type than the one that you have, so maybe you should go ahead and battle it so that you can get, you know, your shiny decks or whatever.
So I presume you've not seen any gleamies yet.
I have. I only have one gleamy.
Oh, you have?
Yep.
Which one have you got?
Honey, honey.
An honey, honey. I don't have any gleamies yet, but I have, I think, three uncommons. So I've got an uncommon Fleeble. Although, funnily, I don't even have a common Fleeble, which is very funny. I have an uncommon Wiggle Whip. And my favorite, I've got an uncommon Lumpstuck.
Yep, I have four uncommons. I have an uncommon Clicky Claws, a Wiggle Whip also, and Lump Stump as well, and then Clomper.
Oh, I just noticed I have a third. I have a fourth. I have an uncommon Firmo. It's a robot looking one.
Oh, yes, I like the Firmos.
Cyclops robot.
Uh-huh.
I think Firmo is also a similar to Sidekey in that it does a lot of kind of... See, this is where I really want to see the cards.
I know.
Let us see the decks. It's the one thing I really want, mm-hmm. is to be able to just look at a list of the cards that I can get. Because I feel like it's similar to Sidekey's cards, but I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
No, of course. I can just look in the wiki because there's a Nooblets wiki. Right,
there let's is. I've kind of used it, but also definitely not because there's definitely a lot of... I'm sure there's still a lot to be... uploaded and figured out as the game moves forward.
Yeah. So Firmo's level one signature move is a really good one. It costs zero and you gain 3 points and one beat.
Ooh. Okay, I'm definitely
which is
have to use
Firmo. Very nice card.
Yeah.
Very nice card. And then its level two signature move is steal a random opponent's signature move.
Mm-hmm.
And then the level three costs two, and it's lower your move costs by one beat this turn. So that could be very useful combining with like a lot of one beat cards, because you can then play as many cards as you have.
Yep.
Essentially. Obviously, if you have a lot of higher ones, then it's probably not going to work as well because it does cost two.
Mm-hmm.
So you tend to have, I think is 4 beats the minimum you get in a battle?
Yes. So I think it's 4 and then 5.
4, 5 or 6?
Yeah. And I think that upgrades as you go bigger on the 2-on-2 or what have you battles.
Yeah.
But I don't think you ever get more than 6 starting off.
So I don't think we've probably explained that bit. So in the battles, you have a different number of ooblets,
mm-hmm.
depending on who you're battling and... It can be anywhere from 2 ooblets up to 6, I think, is it?
Yeah.
And the number of points you need to win the game and the number of beats you have per turn change depending on how many ooblets you have.
But also there is a cutoff with how many turns there could be in one game. Because I've found
is there?
Yep. I've gone against an opponent that has stunned my entire team for like 5 turns in a row. So I couldn't do anything. And even though I had more points than they did, I couldn't do anything. And eventually it was like, you win. It's like, oh, okay. I guess there's like a maximum of 10 turns in one game. I don't know.
Wow. Okay. That's interesting. I've certainly not come across that.
Only happened once. And it was slightly annoying. But then I won. So I was like, okay. I guess I don't care.
not the most annoying.
Yeah, exactly. I think what's also interesting is that each ooblet levels up separately. So even though you could have potentially 2 Clompers or 2 Shrumbos, they each have their own individual levels, which is frustrating. Like when you find a newer, shinier version of one that you already have.
I mean, that's just like playing Pokemon, right? You're used to that.
Yeah, I guess. But it's so a little annoying. So I've definitely replaced all of the common ones with uncommons as they find them. Like, oh, look, I may not like how you look more than the common, but you're an uncommon, so I'm going to flex with you.
Of course. That's how it works. Even though it's a single player game.
Yep. I still got to show off my new and shiny ooblets.
So I think there are 40 ooblets in total.
Okay.
At least that's what it looks like in the almanac, which is basically your
Pokedex.
Your decks, right? And one really good thing about this is that it has, the almanac isn't just doublets, it's got your crops that you've made, your recipes that you've made, and items that you've, like forageables that you've found. So it's good for people who like to complete things and actually have, yeah, like, have here is my list of things.
How different ubuds require different items to start a battle.
Yeah, I think I may have mentioned that early on about how annoying I was, how annoyed I was with Radlad needing one in the episode. It might have been before the recording. I don't know.
Oh yeah,
but yeah, that's a good point. So do you want to explain that?
Yeah. So I guess as you see them in the overworld, they'll either not have any icons that pop up when you see them, or they will. So the icons that do pop up are usually the items that they require in order for you to initiate a battle. Like, for example, Lump Stump, because it's basically a tree stump.
It's like a little tree. Yeah.
All Lump Stumps want are little wood pallets, whatever these are called.
Planklets,
yes. So if you want to battle a Lump Stump, you must give them 4 planklets to battle them. Otherwise, they will not be interested in battling with you. And that's the case with pretty much every ooblet. They all require, or they have their own tastes and requirements for what they need to battle you. And it's nice that the almanac does show that. I didn't realize that.
Just which ones you've got, which one you've got unlocked.
Because I've seen, there's like 3 different views that I'm seeing here. There's the ones that you have. There's like a dark shade one, which I guess is what you've seen in the wild, but haven't.
The ooblets, yeah.
And then there's like completely shadowed ones that you have no info about.
Yeah, so they're ones that you've not seen, and I think probably aren't even unlocked yet.
Okay.
Because you have to unlock them as you go. But it's also, if you go to the recipes page, it shows you not what you have crafted, but it shows you what you have unlocked. Mm-hmm. So that's handy. And then it tells you how many times you've crafted it when you go onto the page. One thing that's very annoying me about the almanac, right, is you to see something, you have to hover over it. And then if you go away from it, it disappears. No longer views it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really annoying. Let me click on it and keep it on the page. I know it's such a small thing, but it's like I'm putting this up and I'm like, oh, what's that thing I need from this list of ingredients? I go over to my browser to see where I can get it from, and now I can't see it on the page anymore. And it's really annoying.
Can I take a picture of it?
It's such a small thing, but well, I can't do that either though, right? Because I'd need to, as soon as I press the screenshot button, it goes away from... True. Oh, no, that works. Okay, no, that does. I think that worked. Okay. Did that work?
I mean, there's always your phone.
Yes, no, that did work. It did work. I am not taking a picture of...
Oh, I just realized that the bird is called Dumb Bird. That's...
Yeah.
Aww.
Dumb Bird. I love Dumb Bird. So it looks like unlocking Shrumble will be my next one after the current list of ooblets to unlock.
Okay.
See... So the first set of extra ooblets are Unny Honey, Clicky Claws, and Oogum. Mm. And that costs 50 wishes. I sound so stupid saying this.
I love it.
The next one costs 100. Next one costs 100 wishes, and that's And that's Radlad, Plob, and Isopud. The next one is also 100 wishes, and that's Spuddle, Nuppo, and Petula. Then we've got another 100 wishes for Moogie, Wurlitzer, and Sidekey. And then the final one is 100 more wishes for Bittle, Shrumbo, and Tud. And that sounds so silly. Don't play this game if you're going to hate these names, right? Because they are just ridiculous. So
they're
you're...
So good. And all the messages, currency, too. Everything. This is so ridiculous.
Let me tell you, right? So there's one. Did you... I talked to Fubfree, who's one of the villagers, and they were saying to me, Gleamies are just like normal ooblets, but I need them. And I felt so seen by this comment.
I love whoever that is. Well, what I've also found is that the NPCs, I think, cycle a lot of the sayings, I guess, because I've definitely seen. Yes. Yep. So probably. I think that's mostly why I stopped talking to them, because I kept seeing the same messages. It's like, okay, you're not giving me anything new now. But maybe I still need to keep talking to them, because I don't think anyone's told me that yet.
So I felt quite seen by them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there was one saying that I don't know if I should tell you who it was, but it was the barista. She was like, I need to figure out. No, it wasn't. No, it was an NPC. Okay. Well, whoever they were, they said, I need to figure out how to level up Ooblets because they don't want to cuddle with me. Oh, they keep running away whenever I try to cuddle with them. And I was like, this is gold.
Oh, dear. Cool. So there's a lot to this game. I feel like it's kind of, I don't want to get too in-depth into all of the mechanics and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But should we do just kind of generic impressions? General impressions, not generic. They're very specific to us.
Sure.
General impressions on the game. So, like, do you like it?
I love it. Definitely do. Like, I like that you have your typical farming, you know, aspects of it. You have your typical befriending the villagers, upgrading the town, unlocking things, that sort of thing. But
yeah,
I think that the new, like, dance battle, just a nice different way actually battle monsters. Sometimes stresses. This is a very nice calming way to get new things in the game, which I enjoy. And the fishing is not... There was basically no fishing mechanic. You just press a button and you fish. Which I don't hate.
But you're not fishing, though.
Well, yeah, that's true. You're...
Because there are no fish to catch.
Well, at least for now. We'll see if that changes, but...
No, I think it's deliberate. So, okay. I've been following the creators of the game for a while, and I think they very deliberately made it a vegan game. So there's no animal produce that you actually consume in any way, and they wanted to create a kind of fishing that doesn't actually require harming fish.
Okay, I enjoy that. So you're fishing for things then?
Yeah. So you sea dangle, which is what it's called, sea dangling. you get random items from it that are mostly useful and occasionally rubbish items that you can reconstitute.
Mm-hmm. And we haven't even touched on the reconstitutor, but I don't think that requires explaining.
Other than just to say, we are not saying the word wrong, I promise you.
It's the right word.
Reconstitute.
Yep.
Yeah. So overall, it's not been a disappointment. Is that what you're saying? It has lived up to your hype for the game.
I think so. Yep. Even in its current limited status, like, I'm still enjoying just chugging along, playing at my own pace. How about you?
Yes, I have been enjoying it a lot. Obviously, it's on my computer, so there's only so much I can enjoy it. I don't enjoy doing things on a keyboard and mouse. Maybe I should try plugging in a controller of some kind.
Yeah, I thought about that.
But yeah, it's just, it feels a little bit awkward doing that. That's always the case for games on my computer, which is why I prefer to play on my Switch.
Mm-hmm.
My posture is never as good when I'm like sitting on the sofa playing on my laptop as opposed to using my Switch. So, but in terms of the actual game, yeah, I've really been enjoying it. It's kind of a bit cheesy, but also fun. And I like it. I would highly recommend it to anyone that enjoys either farming games or creature capture games. They're both very good. Although I guess you're not capturing the creatures either. You're growing the creature.
Yeah. Well, I like that they, like, the creature battles, I guess, gives you a different strategic way of playing the game too. Like, if they were to incorporate more of the deck building somehow, or at least be able to see it, there could be a lot of strategy involved, and they could easily, like, go hard in on that or just keep it fun and easy and flowy as it is now. So I like that, that you have kind of have that option.
Yeah. So that's Ooblets. We'll probably do a much more in-depth episode on it in the future, but we don't want to do that too much when it's in early access for many obvious reasons. So the other thing, because obviously we knew this wouldn't be a hugely long episode with Ooblets, I thought it might be nice to talk about a couple of games that we're looking forward to, because we've both been looking forward to Ooblets quite a lot. It wouldn't be the harvest season if we weren't always looking forward to new games. So I thought it might be fun to talk about a game each that we're looking forward to. And we're both going to bring a game and talk about it. Mine is a little bit cheaty in that I am bringing to the table Littlewood, but on Switch. So for those who have been following, you may well know that Littlewood has now been released in as 1.0 on Steam. So it is the final first full version of the game. I have no idea whether they plan to add more features to the game now or not. But what I do know is that they are working on the port to Switch. And I'm very much looking forward to playing it on the Switch, because as discussed before, I much prefer playing on the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
So Littlewood, for those who haven't played, is a very fun game. I think the thing that I really like about it is the sandbox element to it. I really like being able to decide everything about the town. And it's one thing that I really missed from other farming games, you know, that it really feels like you're moving into an existing town and you don't have much say over it. Whereas in this one, you're really building up the town around you, and you're helping out building up this town, and that gives you a lot of control over it, which I really like. And not just that, you can, you know, have different levels of land. You can choose where water is, these sort of, and it's just a fun game. You know, it focuses on a town where there had been an evil baddie, and you were the hero who helped defeat him. And now it's after that, and you have lost a lot of memories. So there's an interesting story aspect there, in that you're trying to gain back your memories and find out who all these people are to you. But it's also just kind of really calming and nice. And so, yeah, I'm really looking forward to playing that on Switch. So that's the game I've brought.
And that's
Brittany,
definitely
what
a game.
What are you looking for?
I would that also doesn't count.
Sorry.
This is not the game that I'm going to talk about, but I agree that I'm excited about Littlewood's coming to the Switch, because I haven't played it yet, and I feel like at this point I might as well just wait for it to be on Switch.
Yeah.
Because every time I hear you and Rochelle talk about, this is a game that I want to play and I would enjoy playing, but I don't have now. The game that I actually didn't know about until Al told me about it today, that I think most excited for, is Little Witch in the Woods. I feel like the games previously that I was really excited about were Summer and Mara and Ooblets, and now they're both here, so now I need new things to fixate on for the future. And this
that's how we work.
Yes,
how we work.
Exactly. You always have to have something to learn.
Especially just now.
Yes, exactly. There, you need something. Okay, yes, to look forward to. And Little Witch in the Woods.
Sorry for choosing Littlewood, because that's really mucked things up. They're both little, and they both have wood. They both have little, and both have wood.
Yes.
In the name.
It's quite.
It also doesn't help that Littlewood is also a shop chain in the UK. So.
And yeah, just try saying both of them 10 times. That sounds like a fun word activity. But yes, Little Witch in the Woods is a fantasy witch life role-playing game. It's pixel art, so it kind of has like that Stardew-esque like nostalgia that I'm already feeling. But you are a witch who is, like, I think, going out and gathering little potion you know, materials, and then going back to your little potions class, and well, I don't know if it's class, it's a room, your potions lab maybe, and looks like you're making a bunch of potions, and you get to explore, and there's like little fox creatures, and I don't know, it just looks very cute. And there was like one little gif of you waving your arm, your wand, and changing like the hat you were wearing from like peach to a strawberry hat. I don't know, it's just very cute. I don't know anything else about it.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest, you don't have to know much about a game to be excited for it.
just the art of it looks very fun, like the character art when, you know, they're speaking looks very cute. I'm looking at their website now, and you know, I think it's typical. Explore the area, getting ingredients, in this case not to farm, but to, well, I guess you're farming ingredients, but maybe it's more of like finding them out in the wild more so than actually farming them. To make potions, you're developing the village, meeting NPCs, I guess. Ooh, meet your lifelong partner. So I guess there is a marriage component to it. I don't know.
Ooh.
Is there marriage in Littlewood? Is that coming?
There are relationships, and I believe there is some kind of marriage like thing.
That's right.
The majority of the time I played was before that was fully implemented. Okay. So I'm not sure how exactly it works, but I know there is some aspect to it. I spent a lot of time flirting in that game. And that's not even a joke. There's actually a button called flirt.
Oh my God.
When you get your friendship level up to us.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to wait until the Switch, now that I think about it. I have to wait a whole...
Yeah. I mean, I think part of the issue is just we don't know at this point, right? Like, it could come out this month, or it could come out in a year's time, you know? We just don't know yet. That's always the problem. But we can't know because, as we've said before, having a release date when you don't know it can definitely come out, and that is always a bad thing to do, because then you might have to delay, and it's better just to wait and we'll see what happens.
I'm more than okay with delaying games if it means they're better, but I know the majority of the population does not have that view.
I'm also fine with that as well. I would just rather we didn't have a release date to delay it. So like, if I'm told it comes out on this date and then it's like, oh, actually it's coming out on the other date, it's like, I would just wish they hadn't told me the first date.
Mm. Would you prefer more
I'm
of like
totally
a,
fine.
A vague?
I'm totally fine with waiting until a game is ready. Just don't tell me it's going to be ready. Does that make sense?
Kind of. What if they said like spring, like 2020 or something like that? Would that be even too defined of a... Would you still have a lot of expectations then?
I think part of the issue is that people expect these things, right? So it's kind of like a societal expectation that people will give you a release date as soon as possible. And I think that's part of the issue. I'm fine with any release date. I just want them to be realistic about it. I don't think that people should be giving release dates until they know they can definitely make that.
Mm-hmm.
That's all, really. It's not that I am annoyed about things taking ages to come out. Like, games take a long time to make, and that's totally fine. It's more like I don't want the false expectation.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, if somebody says this is going to come out on this date, that's when my brain is going towards. Whereas if they didn't say that in the first place, then I wouldn't have any issue when they give me the final release date.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like I'm generally fine with delays. It's just a bit frustrating, right?
Yeah.
Like,
especially if it's something that you've been looking forward to, and then...
Yeah, exactly.
Understandable.
So, like, with Littlewood, the 1.0 release date was only given, like, a month beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
And they hit it. They hit the date because they knew they could do it. They knew, this is what we still need to do. It's not very much. This is the amount of time we need. We'll build in some extra time for it. And there we go. We hit it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's... I don't think it's realistic to do that. Right. Part of the issue is I'm a software developer, right? So we are constantly trying to estimate how long things take and give dates. And I think that's generally really bad because we're really bad at estimating these things because
yep.
things go wrong and we don't know how long these things are going to take.
Yep.
And I'm constantly badgered by management, no matter what company I'm at, as to how long things are going to take. And it's really annoying. And so I think people should just be free to do it at the pace that is important and only say when they know for certain. I think it's realistic to know how much you can do in the next few weeks, maybe up to a month. But any further than that, I think, is ridiculous. This idea of I'm going to release this game in 6 months. You know, I'm going to release it on March the 21st, mm-hmm. right? You've no idea whether you're going to have it done in that time or not.
Yep, don't know what outside factors are going to maybe impede or affect that, exactly. As we've learned from this year.
Exactly. So, I just wish there was less societal expectations for release dates. And it's like, just be calm. Like, you know about a game. It's fine. There are plenty of games just now. Be excited about a game that's coming. Don't put undue pressure on the developers. Mm-hmm. Just let them do their job.
Well, I guess it's also like a question of like how to market a game.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's...
Of course.
You are marketing towards this release date. And that when it comes out is important, and so you have to ramp it up, and it's, I guess, right before it comes out too. So just judging how you want is probably the main factor for maybe picking arbitrary dates, but also you could do that without publicly telling what that date is.
Yeah.
I don't know. I also come from a workplace that has lots of deadlines that are constantly being changed because expectations are not realistic when they ask for these dates, so I understand.
It's quite ridiculous. We need to stop being so fast through life and just accept it, but that's not the way that the capitalist society runs.
Live life as a farming game. Just take one day at a time. Like, if you don't get to it today, there's always tomorrow.
It's all very well and good, but what if you've got pineapples to grow and you can only grow them 3 times in a month? If you get it right, exactly, you water them every day, you don't have any storms, you plant them on day one, you harvest them as soon as you can.
That's when you develop godlike powers and then change the weather so that you can control them. I don't know, you wait a whole year for it to come back, or you change the day on your Switch to make it so that it's the next year. I don't know, I can't. Be happy with that pineapples.
So, if you would like to tell me what your strategy in Ooblets is, because there are lots of different strategies, then you can tweet me on Twitter at TheScottBot. Scott has one T. I was going to say it has one O. It does have one O, mm-hmm. But that's not the unusual thing about it.
Well, there's two O's total.
Yes, but Scott has one. Look, it's in the show notes. Go click on it. Brittany, where can they find you on the internet?
I'm pretty much known everywhere as Bev Granger 711. That's BEV Granger, like that. GRANGER 711.
If you want to tweet the podcast, you can do that at THSPod. That's like the harvest season pod. If you would like, prefer to send us an email, you can do that on our website, harvestseason.club. You can also find in our show notes and on the website a link to our Patreon if you would like to support us financially. And if you do that, you can also get access to our special Patreon-only podcast.
Yes, very exclusive.
Where this week we talk about Pokemon.
And other
things. No, not this week. Next week. Next week we will talk about Pokemon.
Yes.
Not this week. Next week. And also weather, because for some reason we have like a 20-minute conversation about weather.
Weather is very important. It impacts a lot of things, especially in farming games. So it's always relevant.
You're not wrong. I think that's everything.
Yep.
So thank you all for joining us. Thank you, Brittany, for joining me. It's a pleasure as always. And until next time, have a good harvest. Thank you.
The Harvest Season is created by Rochelle Delaney and Al McKinley, with support from our pro farmer level patrons, Kevin and Stuart. Our art is done by Micah the Brave, and our music is done by Nick Burgess. Feel free to visit our website, harvestseason.club, for show notes and links to things we discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.
And until next time.
Until next time.
Have a good harvest.
Yep. Do I say it too?
Yes.
Have a good harvest.
Oh dear. It's all right. It's not like it's your third time on the podcast or anything.
My memory, it's hard to remember things, okay?
Have a good harvest. Yep.
It's fine. It's yes, yep, yep, yep. Have a good one.
Yeah. Yes, that thing. Mm-hmm.